A great, great week. It started last week with the celebration of guys and dads and bratwurst. And I think some of you, I said the first hour, I think some of you guys were disappointed that there was no grill out there. You thought that was something we were going to do regularly. And you're like, I'm going to save a ton on lunch this way. This is going to be great. And it flowed right into Vacation Bible Camp. If you were part of Vacation Bible Camp in any capacity, would you stand for a minute, please? Yeah. You can sit. I know you didn't do it for applause, but I want you to know that we are so thankful for what you did with our kids. It was an incredible, incredible week. And one of the highlights was our ministry partner, a outreach partner we have is Mobility Worldwide. And what they do is they provide the carts that you see in the atrium to folks who are disabled all over the world. And those carts cost about $300 to produce and to ship to various places in the world. And our kids raised nearly $2,800. It wasn't just about being here and having all kinds of fun. One of the things our kids learned was that they could use their resources to make the difference in the life of another person. And I thought that was incredibly cool. I'm just so proud of them for that. So between Hudson's BBC and ours, I think we raised a total of about $15,000 just for Mobility Worldwide. And that's remarkable. Ladies, guys, if you like to bicycle at all, would you please join me on July the 14th? The Pregnancy Solutions, they are one of our local ministry partners, and this is one of the fundraisers that they do. They are going to have a 25-mile bike ride that day, and you can do it. You can ride 25 miles. You may not know it. You may not be able to do it real fast, but you can do it. So sign up, join me that day, and it is $100 to do it, and you don't... That $100 is the fundraising. You don't have to go out and ask anybody else. They would love it. It will bless them tremendously. I'm actually putting together a team of men and women that we are going to, I'm calling it the Extra Mile Club. And somebody said, well, does that mean you're riding 26 miles? No, that means we're riding, for every mile ridden, we're riding an extra mile. So we're going to do 50 miles, okay? And we're going to raise $200. So we're going to go the extra mile with that as well. So if you want to be a part of that, let me know. I'd love to have you be a part of that. But you have to email me directly on that one so I know, because I need to get you the route. It's a different route, and you'll get lost if you don't contact me. So Mark.Lyle, L-I-L-E. That's how you can get me, at ccchapel.com. Okay, so I love it. There's also some rumors of a motorcycle group doing 50 or more miles. So I will let you know about that one, but if you motorcycle, let me know that as well, and we may put that together. So anyway, all right. Matthew chapter 23, are you ready, men, for the last week of Man Month? Here we go. Get in Matthew 23. Use your device to get there. If you brought a Bible, great. Somehow, some way, find Matthew chapter 23. And I want to remind you, we've kind of hit on four different pillars of being a man. What are four specific characteristic areas of being a man? Well, today we will hit the fourth, but if you've been here for the previous three, then hopefully you know or remember them. So guys, help me. What have they been? What aspects of godly manhood have we talked about? Integrity. Excellent. Integrity. The idea that your life is the same wherever. It's the seamless life. The life that isn't one way with one group of people and another way with others. What else? See, this is why you guys are saying, that's why I prefer Joe on the screen, because he never calls on us, you know, on the video, never. Integrity. Courage or perseverance. Yeah, exactly. That's how we described it, as perseverance. Men, the reality that life and life in Christ is not perfect. It's not without pain. It's not without struggle. But even in those, God can use all of that to shape us and create godly character, Christ-likeness in us. Excellent. Good. Last week we talked about legacy. Great job. Well done, men. Yes, we talked about living a life intentionally in such a way that those behind you begin to model Christ because of our life. And then, guys, today, the last pillar of manhood we're going to talk about today is purity. Okay? Purity. So I want to get, just even when that hits you fresh, guys, when you think of purity, if you were going to use a different term, a synonym, if you will, what other term might you use? If somebody said, hey, what did you talk about in church yesterday, and you wanted to use something other than purity, what might you say?
Reverence.
Okay, reverence.
Holiness.
Holiness, good.
No mixture.
Yeah, kind of the question of how pure do you like your drinking water to be, right? That's kind of a picture of it, right? Blamelessness, guys, is another. I want to look at that. Now, lest you think that this sermon may not apply to you, let me share an illustration that suggests that maybe, in fact, it will. A couple years ago, Amazon came out with an interesting product called Alexa. And some of you have Alexa in your house because you know how doggone hard it was to turn the temperature up yourself or dial up a radio station, right? But what Alexa does is responds to commands that you give it, her. We call this technology her, and it really is, it's a pretty neat technology. But and you probably read this as well, I read an article about a couple of court cases where Alexa recordings were being subpoenaed to be reviewed. Because what people don't think about is, in order to have technology that responds to your commands, it has to be listening all the time. And so, guys, unbeknownst to you, I have secured some Alexa recordings from your house over the last week. And I'm going to play just the good parts. Of course I haven't. But for most of us, the thought of that being possible would cause us, sadly, and I'm included, sadly, not to sit and enjoy how much we honored our Savior through everything we did this week, but probably run in horror. So guys, I'm going to say we probably need this lesson on purity. My brother-in-law has Alexa, by the way. It's fun because he talks to us often on speakerphone, and so I'll shout out commands to Alexa that he has to then undo. Like, he'll say, hey, Mark, how's it going? I'll say, Alexa, turn the heat up to 90 degrees in the house. And, but that illustration came to me this week, and I thought, man, we used to have to make this up, and now it exists. This idea that our lives are being monitored. I don't say that for any kind of paranoia, but what a stark reality of who are we? Are we the same all the time? Guys, I want to look, and some of you who might be new keep going, why does he keep talking to guys? Well, because it's man month. But ladies, you know that the secret is what? You get to listen in as well. And my hunch is that much, if not all, of what we talk about is going to apply to you as well. In Matthew chapter 23, this perhaps is not the passage you expected me to talk about when we describe a life of purity, but I think you're going to find something significantly life-changing in it. Matthew chapter 23, starting in verse 23, Jesus is teaching, and he says, and we don't hear this all that often from Jesus, but he says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. You blind guides, straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the plate, that the outside also may be clean. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." And this is God's word to us today. So guys, I want to start perhaps a little bit backwards, and I'm hoping to hit three things. The first is what a man of purity is not. Secondly, what a man of purity is. And lastly, what a man of purity does. So what a man of purity is not, what a man of purity is, and what a man of purity does. And I picked this particular passage because it fascinates me. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. We're looking at the book of Matthew. Matthew is primarily written with a Jewish audience in mind. And Jesus is looking at a group of people that were generally esteemed as leaders of the Jewish people, of God's people. Now, again, if you'll roll back with me for a minute, you could say, well, one of the things we know about the Jewish people, so unique, so significant, is that they recognize the one true God. And the one true God gave to them through Moses what? The law, right? So God says, I'm holy, you can't be in my presence without holiness, without purity, without no mixture, without perfection. And then God gives the law. He says, thou shalt not, and he goes through things. Thou shalt love the Lord your God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not kill anyone. So you have the law. And honestly, guys, if this was as simple as saying, guys, we got to be pure, we're told, even Psalm 24, right? If we're going to ascend the hill of the Lord, the mountain of the Lord, we have to have pure hearts to do that. Matthew tells us in the Beatitudes, blessed are the pure in heart. Why? Or in what way are they blessed? They will... That's awesome, you guys. They will see God. That's right. Part of the Beatitudes. So if we have any desire to ever see God or know God, there has to be a purity of heart. Well, guys, that should be pretty simple, right? I could just go and say, okay, here are websites you should never visit. Here are television shows you should never watch. Here are conversations you should never have. Here are business deals you should never do. Follow those. You're good. But the reason Matthew 23 freaks me out is because it's Jesus talking to a group of people who knew those laws better than anyone. And get a load of this. In the very first woe section, Jesus doesn't say, you don't do this. Put it up there, guys. What does he say? Look what they do. He says, woe to you, Pharisees, you guys who want to be righteous, you desire to have pure lives, but you do what? What is it they do? They tithe. Some of you are going, I'm not even good at that. I can't even get over the hurdle of giving the Lord or recognizing that the things God has, that everything I have is what God has given me, and I give back to him as an act of worship. You're going, wait a minute, these guys who Jesus says, whoa, and I mean, he says, whoa, like, bah, bah, klaxons, red flags. Guys, you are in trouble. And he says, you give. And not only do they give, but what does it describe? They give down to the fractional degree. Mint, dill, cumin, spices. Most of you have spice racks, and yet there was not any cinnamon in the offering basket today. So you don't even give anywhere near as well as the Pharisees did. I mean, they wrote their check, their tithe check, and then they also went home and said, okay, I have this much cinnamon. Got to give that. Now, to me, in Mark world, that would be Jesus going, you guys are awesome. You not only give, you give to the decimal point. But then what Jesus does is he tells guys, you and me, that while we want our problem about purity to be at the action level, it's not. He says our purity problem is not simply in, oh, I didn't know there were websites I wasn't supposed to look at. He says, in fact, if you go on, he says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees in 25, for you clean the outside of the cup, but inside it's full of greed and self-indulgence. So guys, the problem is a man of purity is not just a rule follower. You can stop looking at stuff you shouldn't look at on your computer, and you can still be full of dead men's bones and ugliness. So what Jesus is going to teach us is he's going to say, guys, if it's not about rule following. What a man of purity is a man who recognizes that the heart of the problem is the heart, which is the problem. There's something wrong with our hearts. And I'm not gonna have you read all the details, but in Matthew 22, there's a really interesting parable that Jesus tells that I think to me just cements this, the reality of what, guys, what we need to be as men of purity. And it's a story of a wedding feast, and it starts out by saying a master threw a feast, a wedding feast for a number of guests, and those guests all said, hey, sorry, we can't make it. And so then the master goes out into the streets and the byways and the highways, and he invites everybody in. And at that point, it's already an interesting enough parable to me because I'm always trying to figure out, okay, what's this saying about God, about me, about life, about the way I should live? And one of the things it tells me, going back to written to Matthew, we talked about that a minute ago, written to Matthew writing to the Jews, what that tells me is that God offered out the celebration, the feast, the kingdom to the Jewish people, and they rejected him. Yes, that's one thing we learn. And so then God will take the message out again, and we saw this happen, incredibly cool. Peter and Paul ended up taking the message out to the Gentiles, you and me. I say it periodically. We sit here today because the Jews rejected who Jesus is. So the parables always, I've said, they always have a little barb. They jump out of the weeds a little bit, like twist. It's a story that you're going, I didn't expect it to go that way. So I didn't expect people to reject and then God to go out in the highways and byways. But then the parable falls, read this later, it's in Matthew 22. It falls off the cliff then. Because what happens is the master goes to some of the guests and says to one of the guests, how did you get in here without wedding clothes? And then does what? Kicks him out. That doesn't seem very loving, God-like to me. That's why the parable always freaked me out. Until I started to study it a little bit. And I realized that I was missing a cultural context whereby the thrower of the feast, the master in this case, would oftentimes provide appropriate wedding garments for those who would come in and celebrate. So in fact, if you came in and there was a provision for you to be cloaked and you chose not to, you were operating in your own self-righteousness. Guys, that's what why do I tell it in a purity sermon? Because that's what I'm scared about with us. Is that we go, okay, Mark, I don't treat people at work well. I lie a little bit in my business deals. I got you. I hear you. You use the Alexa thing. That's good. I feel poked. Okay, are we done yet? Guys, I love you guys, and I don't want to have a church of a bunch of whitewashed guys. Amen. I don't want us to be a place that what we are known by is a bunch of fake God rule followers. I want us to recognize that what a man of purity is first and foremost a man who is cloaked in Christ. You say, well, come on, Mark. It's like every sermon always goes back to Jesus. Well, yeah, because every sermon ultimately goes back to Jesus. He is the founder and establisher of our faith. He is before all things. In him, all things hold together. Everything was created by him and for him. And if you are trying to live in some other alternate reality, you are your own God. You want to know how you can be pure before God? Guys, you start by taking on the wedding garments of celebration that God has provided. You take on the salvation that Jesus has offered you, recognizing that moral purity, spiritual blamelessness, is not about you trying harder to kick the bad habits of your sin. Moral holiness, perfection, blamelessness is you being covered with Jesus's perfection. And what Jerry Bridges says so well in his book, and the reason I talk about it is because of my CLC experience, is he says, guys, what we need to do to begin to walk in this blameless life is to preach the gospel to ourselves every day. Starting with the moment I wake up saying, welcome back to the world, sinner. And instead of the tragedy of stopping there, saying, I have a great Savior, a God who sacrificed his only and very loved Son for me on my behalf. And because of that, I walk out adopted. And the things I will face today that will challenge my being blameless are not just battles of the flesh. They are battles of epic and spiritual proportion. So, what a man of purity is not, is a guy who whitewashes his life and says, you know what, as long as people at church think I'm okay, I'm okay. What a man of purity is a guy who sinks his life into Christ and finds his identity there, says to Jesus, you are Lord. What a man of purity does is he begins to, now here, let me get the theology truth out, okay? He begins to let this the Holy Spirit of God change his heart and make it pure. That's an awesome truth, but how does that actually happen? I mean, really? You know, because very few of us will ever have this radical experience where all of a sudden everything we're tempted to do is miraculously withdrawn from us. Guys, if you haven't figured this out, this is a marathon that we call life. So how do we do it? How does the Spirit of God begin to change us? Let me remind you, we've talked about it for a few weeks. One is through His Word. This isn't data. This is the revelation of the true God. God will use His Word to change us. He will use His Word to enlighten us. He will use His Word to show us the ways in which we are sinning. He will use His Word by His Spirit to convict us through that Word. He will also use our fellowship. Guys, I don't think you can walk this journey alone. I just don't. I don't think that's going to surprise anyone. It's why we do men's fraternity, Christian leadership concepts, men's Bible studies, men's breakfast. Whenever we try to get men connected, it's for the purpose of trying to get us into a relationship where we can be honest with one another about our walk and let God's Spirit use our fellowship to continue to restore us and redeem us. That's the kind of group of guys I want to be a part of. That's the kind of church that Jesus wants. So what does a man of purity do? Let me give you a couple really simple, practical examples. Some walking advice. Number one, he guards his mind. Guys, I'm gonna simple acronym that I learned in a counseling class that has been wonderful for me. Our biggest susceptibility to temptation comes when we are hungry, angry, lonely, tired. A simple place to start. I mean, halt. That's what it is. Halt. Hey, you want to begin to halt the strength of some of the temptation in your life. You're addressing some of the physical issues. You rest. Okay? You're hungry. We'll rest in a minute. You eat. When you're hungry, you nourish yourself. You nourish yourself well. You are angry. Take care of your anger before the sun goes down. I love that. When you are lonely, guys, there are those of you who have to travel for a living. You are lonely when that happens. Guys, we are susceptible when we are lonely to fill our time with stuff that's unhealthy. I had a friend who, what he would do is when he would walk into his hotel, he'd walk right up to the desk and he'd say, is there any kind of cable feed into my room? Oh, yes, sir, there is. Turn it off. Because he knew what his temptation was. And when he was lonely, he knew where the temptation was. And tired. Simple. Guys, but look at those areas of your life. Protect that. That's physical. Spiritually, guys, we got a chance to get better at praying. We need the Spirit of God to move in our lives. We need to cultivate a spirit of prayer to say, God, I can't win this battle without you. This is not simply a knuckle-down, try-harder battle. Guys, guard your hearts as well. Guard your minds and what gets in there. Guard your hearts. Protect yourself against emotional relationships that could drag you toward unfaithfulness. The first connection you're going to make with somebody to begin an unhealthy relationship is always going to be emotional. Guys, don't put yourself there. Okay? Begin to walk in purity. And let's do it together. Man month. God, you have been good to us to allow us to experience a taste of the fellowship that you desire, the unity for us to enjoy, to see that through your work, through the Spirit, we can overcome the sin that so easily entangles. Help us with that, Father. Lord, go before us even into this week. And thank you for receiving our worship. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.